A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Okay, today is the 18th March 2021, Thursday class. So we will continue from the sharing using this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verses or the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 147. Just relax body and mind, maintain some form of attention. Then we will have our usual half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. Okay, feel off the light. Then you can start your meditation. So the purpose of this silent awareness based meditation is to train our mind so that we will have this ability to be aware. The awareness nature within is our meditative mind, and that is also our true mind. When your mind is without thought, it is your true mind, your silent mind. So ability to realize that true mind, which is your silent mind and also your meditative mind, is the most important. All of meditation finally need to reach this state of a free mind without thought. So we call it awareness or sati. To make it easy, we just call it the silent mind, means when you are without chattering, without thinking, without verbalization, without any thought activity, that is your true mind. That is your awareness nature, without words, without any movement of thought process. So we need to realize that original mind, that true mind, before the arising of thought, thinking, the emotion, the sankhara, the activity of mind. So this half an hour awareness-based meditation is to do that. And the fastest way is to relax body and mind, then maintain some form of awareness. Just aware. Don't do anything. Then stabilize the awareness. You have to stabilize it. So the four support for awareness-based meditation is relax, aware, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then finally, the fourth support is trust your nature to develop the meditation. Don't interfere with the thought process or using the mundane mind to do things. So when you are actively using thought, the mundane mind will create mental activity. Then you can never realize your true mind, because you have to be completely relaxed and maintain awareness to realize that silence. So all of verbalization, chattering, thought-based meditation can never lead you to the realization of the awareness nature within. Always remember that. So I will set the alarm, then you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Then when you have stabilized the awareness, use it to meditate, to develop wisdom and understanding. Initially, maybe it will take a while for those who are new or who have not trained. You would have to go through that process, because most of the time, cultivators have not stabilized their spiritual faculties. Because of that, they think a lot. The mental hindrances are there. because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculties. Spiritual faculties are mind state that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching, to develop the silent mind, to realize that awareness nature within. So if you don't have that spiritual faculty, when you try to meditate, you realize the mental hindrance create thinking, create sankhara. But don't worry, just accept the reality that the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, so it's natural. When you accept that reality and let things be, then this thought process or sankhara activity or mundane heedless thinking, they will just slow down, slow down, slow down, until finally it ceases. You have to realize that shift in consciousness. You can perceive it when this mundane activity or thinking or sankhara activity and movement, it starts to slow down. Then finally it becomes very quiet still. That is the realization of the true mind, the sudden shift in consciousness from an agitated, heedless thinking consciousness into a peaceful, quiet, tranquil and still pure awareness without thought. Okay. Being patient while at the same time being respectful and accommodating is having true patience, having self-respect, humility, and reverence is great openness. So this one is, they are sharing with us the qualities of these great beings, the bodhisattvas. So patience is one of the perfection, is the parami. In Pali, it's called kanti. So you have to develop this quality of mind or this perfection or parami. So being patient while at the same time being respectful, that is very important. A lot of people cannot do that, because sometimes they are not cultivating patience. They are actually doing the opposite, because instead of being patient, they actually suppress their feelings. They don't want to get angry, or they don't want to become emotional. So they suppress their feeling. But deep inside, they are not happy. They actually don't like what happened. So that is not patient. That is, you are suppressing your feeling. Patient means there is this wisdom behind, there is this understanding behind that no point reacting or becoming impatient. No point suppressing that feeling or that emotion. Being patient means there is wisdom and understanding. To understand that the situation demands us not to become reactive, not to become argumentative or react to negativity of action, speech and thought process. Sometimes this occur because there is this emotion, there is this anger, unhappiness, there is this fear, phobia, frustration, insecurity and many other things that can cause us to react to a situation. And sometimes we become angry, we become violent, we become fearful. So all this, when it happens, means you lack wisdom, you lack understanding, you don't know how to act. So being patient is something you have to understand. When you are patiently endure that situation, it's because you know it doesn't really serve the purpose or work when you try to suppress your feeling. Well, that thing will like bottle up and erupt. It's just like when you bottle up your feeling, you suppress your feeling because you don't have the wisdom behind. So here, what they are trying to share with you is it being patient, and at the same time, you have this wisdom inside. You are still respectful and accommodating. It's having true patience means you are not angry, you are not unhappy, you are not suppressing your feeling. You understand the importance of this virtue, kanti, or patience. We call it patient endurance with wisdom. You endure and become very patient with that person or with that situation. You do not react or do something silly or stupid or emotional. Yeah. That's why you are being respectful, means you understand, and you can accommodate whatever that happened because you understand the situation doesn't warrant any of this unnecessary conflict or misunderstanding. So being patient need wisdom, need understanding, and you have to endure it with understanding and wisdom. That's why you are still respectful. You are still able to act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. You can accommodate whatever that arises. So when you are able to do that, that is true patience. Then having humility, self-respect, and reverence is great openness. So these are all the virtues that the cultivator will have, especially Bodhisattva. So humility is a very good quality, and all Bodhisattva has this humility. You can see any arrogance in them. They are not cultivator. They are not real Bodhisattva. Because the real cultivator of Bodhisattva, they have a lot of humility. Sometimes you don't know who are they, what are they, and how wise they are. Because they are very humble. They have a lot of humility. Then they dress simply sometimes. They are not there to impress. But when they manifest and act through their wisdom, their noble qualities, their virtue, you can sense them, you can feel them. They are different. They are not the type that leads to open conflict, war, argument, lead to misunderstanding and honesty. Everything they do leads to harmony. They can resolve things amicably. If they need to apologize, they can just apologize to tone down the situation. So all these are the great qualities of a cultivator. Okay, I will read on, then you can understand the title better. Of the six parameter, patience or kanti is the stable and balanced core. It's very true. This six parameter refers to the Mahayana way of definition. When a Bodhisattva cultivate the Bodhisattva way to realize Sammasambuddhahood according to Theravada tradition, the teachings has actually outlined 10 perfection. Dasa Paramita, 10 perfections, there are 10. But for Mahayana, they actually summarize it and focus on only 6. They call it the 6 Paramita, Liu Tu. So these 6 Paramita, they are very beautiful. they are more or less the same, except they have this extra one, which will cover most of the other thing. So what they have is dana, which is the same, the dana parami is the first one. Then after that, you have sila parami, precepts. So when you have precepts, when you have sila parami and dana parami, then these two will serve you very well. That's how you start. Then the third one is virya, diligence. Then followed by patience, which is kanti. Then they develop samadhi, followed by wisdom. So all these six perfection, the other five, they are being stabilized and balanced by this patient endurance, kanti parami. So I will read on, you will understand. So dana parami, giving or generosity, followed by upholding of the precepts, sila parami, having diligence or virya, spiritual zeal, tenacity to go this way, and the development of samadhi and wisdom all requires patience. You have to be very patient. That's why I always say patience, endurance, persevere. Just do. Don't complain. Don't try to know. Don't have expectation. Think it's just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. So if you are sincere, you have the faith, you cultivate accordingly, the way will unfold. You will realize. You will awaken. So all these are very straightforward. So patience is the balancing perfection. Everything need patience. Zhen zu, patient endurance. In fact, during my cultivation, this quality of perfection of patience surfaced many times. I think at least six times. When I was going to the tail end of my cultivation, I remember I met six person that gave me the same advice. They are all from different places. They are all not related. Every one of them share this parami of patient kanti. So it shows the importance of this quality. When you are not patient, you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, you cannot achieve great things. Great things can only come about when you are very patient. You look at history, even those scientists who finally become very famous or renowned, you read the history behind. Even Thomas Edison, the one that invented or founded electricity, it seems he tried and he failed more than 1,000 times. If he don't have patience, he cannot do that. In fact, many successful people go through a lot of endurance and patience. They are very patient with what they do, despite the failure, despite the difficulties. They endure through. They are very patient because they have passion. They know that's what they do, they need to do. And they really have passion for that thing. That's why they keep on trying, keep on developing the understanding. Then they keep on doing, persevere until they finally succeed. So this parami, if you are a true cultivator, you should pay attention. Kanti parami, patient endurance with wisdom. Okay, I read on. It is said, being patient while at the same time being respectful and accommodating is having true patience. This is our daily homework while we are learning the Buddha's way. So Tsuchi also has this. Eh? So it's like a homework for them. Tsuchi is present all over the world is also a result of patient endurance, this parami. If they don't have patience, they cannot endure all those problems, all those what they call obstruction or zhangai, or obstacle that they have to confront. Sometimes you go for this type of volunteer work. You want to help people, so you think you are there to help. But when you are in a foreign country, everything is different. Their culture is different. The authority there is different. You need to get permission. You need to overcome a lot of what they call obstacle or hindrance. So it's not easy. You need to be very patient. You need to really work your way out through understanding. Patience comes through wisdom and understanding. Without wisdom and understanding, there is no true patience. So you have to patiently endure and work towards it until it comes to fruition, until whatever you are sincerely committed to do can come to fruition, can unfold beautifully. So this is the quality of true patience. So I will read on to find out what does the author gave as example. So according to the author, back in 1991, he said, Eastern China experienced a severe flood. The majority of those affected were already poor, and the flooding of this their farmlands further aggravated the thing or added to their unspeakable misery and suffering. That year, relationship between Taiwan and China was still very tense. However, Vice President Shi Ji Wang, Vice President of Shi Ji Wang Duanqing, I thought Shi Ji was the surname, no. Shi Ji, Vice President of the Shi Ji organization, Mr. Wang Duanqing, from Hualien Shi Ji Hospital, superintendent. There's another person, Hualien Shi Ji Hospital Superintendent Shen Wenping, then Shi Ji Commissioner Li Yihui and others overcame many difficulties to go to the disaster zone, which is very true. Where at that time, the misunderstanding between Taiwan and mainland China has not been resolved yet. The path to disaster assessment was filled with many obstacles. Every step was like treading on thin ice. So the discussion was, it is so bad. So a lot of obstacle, a lot of patience is required to really have the ability to endure all this. And finally, able to do what they want to do. So in interacting with others, as long as we can express our sincere love and honestly communicate with one another, we can naturally establish mutual trust. This is very true. What you need is sincerity, your sincere approach, your love, your compassion. When you are sincere, you will have honesty. So honestly communicate with each other or one another. then you can naturally establish mutual trust. Mutual trust is very important. Without trust, actually, very difficult to get things done. Because when you are suspicious of their intent and their approach, so without this sincerity leading to mutual trust, it's not easy to break the ice, to bring about causes and conditions for things to be resolved amicably. So as soon as Suzy's disaster assessment team arrived in China, they paid a visit to the Chinese Ministry of Civil Affairs. They spoke openly with the minister about the purpose of their visit and asked for support. Now, this is very good. The minister told them the hardest hit location is Quanqiao in Anhui province. We can make providing emergency relief in Quanqiao your first priority and provide those affected with direct assistance. Thus, Suzy volunteer rushed to Quanqiao. When they reached the disaster area, everywhere they looked, the flood water were waist high, and all people could do was to paddle around with a wooden container, rocking from side to side as they bobbed along with the water. The official who accompanied them pointed to the watermark on the wall and said, "The water has already dropped. Originally, it was up to here. On closer inspection, they saw that the wall was cracking with insects. One can only imagine the severity of the situation during the flood." So this was how bad it was. When the disaster assessment team came to the area where the water has resided, they saw many mud brick houses that had toppled over. Continuing on to even more remote location, they saw an old lady walking barefooted with a look of utter distress or despair. In her hand, she held some small fish, and she was muttering, "My home is gone, my home is gone." Li Yihui asked her, "Grandma, where did you catch this fish?" The old woman pointed not far away, where the land had turned into a vast expanse of water. There is a historical photo that attests to the terrible situation that this poor, disaster-stricken people had to experience. Looking back on it, one can only feel a sense of pity. At that time, Suzy Foundation cooperated with the T.H. Wu Foundation and the President Chain Store Corporation 7-Eleven. To raise funds all over Taiwan, using the slogan, "Word of the harsh winter with love." However, many Taiwanese could not comprehend why we would want to provide disaster relief to China. Due to their lack of understanding, they misinterpreted our intention. Yet, Suzy volunteers bravely carry on. And with broad and open heart, they firmly upheld the idea that great love transcends national boundaries. The expression of love touched many people. In order to help those affected by disaster, whether within Taiwan or abroad, Suzy volunteers all over the planet or globe were mobilized and take their fundraising effort onto the street. Once our volunteers encountered a disabled man who supported himself as a beggar. When he saw Suzy volunteers with their donation box, he followed after them, crawling on the ground with great effort. because he wanted to make a donation. Because of all the street noise, none of the Tzuchi volunteer heard his yelling until a bystander pointed him out. The volunteer turned around and saw the beggar holding a tin can. One of the volunteers quickly kneeled down and reverently held out the donation box to him and let him put in the money from the can. The beggar said, "Thank you so much. I can only give what I received today from begging, but I share the same wish as all of you. Since I cannot go to the disaster area myself, please help them on my behalf." So this is very touching, eh? Even a beggar who is so poor, willing to donate everything that he received from his hard work of the day. This disabled man is also a bodhisattva in that sense. Yeah. When he saw Tzuchi volunteer shedding tears of gratitude, he even comforted them. He said, "I saw people insult you. Don't worry about what happened. They are giving you a chance to eliminate your negative karma." Tzuchi volunteer said, "You are right. With such mutual gratitude and encouragement, we help each other master the skill of being patient." That's why, despite the insult and the mistreatment from people who don't understand, or there are people who are of that character, they like to say things which hurts people. So even to do volunteer work, to help out, you need to have a lot of patient endurance. You need to endure a lot of things through wisdom and understanding. And that's how you really cultivate. Like Master Xuanhua, he used to tell us, when you are with people whom you don't like, although the Buddha say, if you don't have the wisdom, the Dhamma, suffering will follow you. When you are with people whom you don't like. But Master Xuanhua said, if you are a true cultivator, they are your good knowing advisor. They are the one who can help you in your cultivation. People who are difficult to stay with, to be with, these are difficult people whose character are very weird. So when you can actually become at peace with such situation and people, you actually develop your cultivation. In order to be tested, after you have developed your cultivation, you need to come out into line. You need to be with real life situation, society, and all those things. That's what happened to me. In the year 1989, when I knew I need to be tested, I resigned from a very comfortable statutory body or government servant job. I was on super skill and all those things. Actually, I can retire after that position very comfortably. But then I knew I need to be tested. So there were conditions. The sign appeared. The condition arise. So my nature echoed and flow and knew what happened. So accepted that condition. Then I resigned and joined the private sector. And because the only way to really have the true test is to work for the private sector where everything is different, not what you think anymore. Just private sector, you really, really have to be capable. It's no longer like what they call a comfort zone where you can stay very long. So sometimes they like to work for government department. It's where it's a comfort zone. Your job are well protected. Then the other one is when you work for a client, you got less problem, less stress, and all those things. Mm. But I choose my career path so that I can go around the whole industry. Yeah? I was with a contractor before. Then later on, I work for government departments, statutory body. Then finally, I resigned and came out to the private sector. I work for consultant. Then after consultant, I left to join a public listed company. That's how I complete my career. Then the test was very beautiful. Because in the private sector, there are a lot of things you have to work your way through. You have to learn everything all over again. And there is no such thing as comfort zone. You need to really, really put to test all of your cultivation and your skill. So while I was working, even with the sanctuary body, I developed the cultivation very sincerely and patiently. And while I was with the government department, especially the sanctuary body, because I'm efficient and I know how to streamline the work, I was able to have a lot of good condition for my cultivation. So I spent a lot of time cultivating while I was there because of my understanding and my parami. Then resigning from there, coming out was a great test. So after that, I was in the private sector for many years. From 1989, I came out. I worked until 2001, then I retired. So it was how many years? For 14 over years. Quite long. 15 years almost. No. 12 years. 12 years. Yeah. Oh, I was with the private sector for 12 years. I thought less than 10 years. But finally, I called it a day because my worldly duty done. Then simple line. That's why I retire early. So that was how, as a cultivator, you really have to put to test. If you don't put to test, you won't understand. It's only in the private sector where you meet all sorts of people. So private sector, they don't give you face. They are very straightforward. Whatever they pay you, they expect you to cough it out and sweat it out. Sometimes they can be very unreasonable. Sometimes the words can be very harsh. Then you have to meet up with client, and not all clients are reasonable. So you need the Dhamma to help you. I was able to do it very well. Then you also have to confront contractors, government servant, government authority, and all these things. Then we also have to do a lot of high-level presentation. I had the opportunity to even get involved with a lot of privatization jobs that finally need us to do the presentation until the Prime Minister department. And we did a lot of things. I worked with a lot of very prestigious and high level architects and consultants and clients of major listed company to actually fulfill my company's job scope. So I was involved in many prestigious projects too. So that's how you can be tested. And it's only at these high level projects or that type of client where they normally don't give you a face. They can tell you all. And situation can be very, very bad and stressful for people. There were a few projects, I remember. My office they send so many engineers one after another until everyone give up, almost three or four of them. Then finally my director came to talk to me, then asked me to help. Then I told him, okay, I can help. So I went and I resolved it. That was not easy. It was a very difficult situation. That is involving a five-star hotel with high-level client, contractor, architects, consultants, and all those things. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So this particular parami, kanti, or patient endurance, is very important. Okay. In 1999, after a big earthquake in Turkey, Tsuji volunteer again went out in the street to ask for donation. There were times when a disgruntled person would hit the donation box or snatch away the donation banner or even grab the donation box in an attempt to take the money. In this situation or cases, the volunteer would simply take a quick step backward, bow deeply, while adeptly lowering the donation box in their hand and respectfully say with a smile, "Thank you." So that way they diffuse what could have become a confrontation. So this situation I think is quite common. Sometimes when Tsuji volunteers are out asking for donation at the marketplace, one of the store owners will harshly criticize them, saying, "If you stand here, how am I supposed to do my business?" This is quite true. I think we tend to encounter all this. Sometimes it's not necessary you are a church volunteer or somebody doing something and you are there causing all this. Sometimes when I go to the marketplace or what, sometimes these hawkers, they are very particular. Because sometimes I just accompany my wife or I just accompany somebody to go. Then I will stand around and look around. Then when they see me not buying anything, they say, "Mo Chow Teng, you are not buying, don't stand here, is it? You move." So these are the things that you tend to encounter. And I personally encounter a few occasions that I tell him, "Sorry about that," because I don't mean it. But nowadays less, because as I age, I realize people actually respect you. Even I go to the bank or government department, or when I went out to the market or what, they call me uncle already, you're white hair already. Today I met a big cock you, he also say white hair already. When you are near to 60 plus, coming to 70, you cannot deny. So they tend to be more friendly, and they talk to you very nicely. So nowadays I don't have such problem anymore. But when I was young, 30 plus, 40 plus, you tend to have such situation. Okay, I will read on. Sometimes when Tsuji volunteers are out asking for donation at the market, oh, this one gone through already, the volunteer will then quickly apologize. And you should do that, just like what I did. I apologize to the store owner. "We are sorry. That was our oversight. Thank you for pointing it out." So at least they feel better. Sometimes the volunteer will also meet a supportive store owner who would open up a big umbrella, sun umbrella, and respectfully say to them, "You are working so hard. The sun is hot. Come under the umbrella. It will protect you from the heat." So there are good people too, throughout fundraising work. We experience the full range of human temperament, but for the sake of helping those in need, we persevere. See, this is patient endurance, perseverance. We persevere in asking for donation or generosity. Pardon me. This is training that we willingly accept, even if others insult us, or even physically been threatened. We maintain our respectful attitude and bow gratefully in response. We apologize. This is the difficult skill of being patient, while still being respectful and accommodating and willing to say sorry, to apologize. I often tell Suji volunteers, you are truly amazing. What I ask you to do is so difficult. Actually, not easy, huh? All this volunteer work. Yet they say, Master, it's not difficult at all. We are grateful for the opportunity, see? This is really, really understanding, huh? To engage in spiritual practice. Because you understand, it's an opportunity to develop the cultivation. It's just like donation or offering and all those things. Sometimes when we make donation or help out in certain spiritual donation activity, then people tend to thank us and say a lot of kind words to us. Say thank you so much for the support, all those things. And I used to receive this type of thing. Especially Ananda Giri, where we were so close to Ajahn Ajahnu, and he always expressed that and thanked us. Then I always teach Joyce. We reply in such a way, we should thank you instead of you thanking us, because it is he who gave us the opportunity to donate, to make such offering. Without the condition there, without the affinity, without the condition, nothing happens. So in a way, this is beautiful understanding and synergy. That's why there's a lot of joy. That's why wherever there is opportunity or condition, he will approach us and come to us. And most of the time, we never failed him. We did our part, and it was so beautiful. So this is an added sharing so that you all can understand. But when others insult you, don't you become angry? So that is the question. Most people without the cultivation will become angry. But if you have the cultivation, you will endure. You will never react. No, we face them with ease. So that is the answer of the volunteer. This is beautiful. So being patient while at the same time being respectful and accommodating is having true patience. So this one we have gone through. We have already developed the understanding. We must have true patience, which does not just mean enduring until we reach the end of our patience. That is suppressing your feeling. We must have effortless patience, means wisdom behind. Means you don't try to be patient. So effortless patience is a good description, and endure without really enduring. Because your wisdom actually allow you to do those things. You are not really like trying to endure and all those things. No. Because you understand this is what you want to do as a volunteer. And sometimes you do it with joy. That's why they say they can do it with ease. They face them with ease, even though there are a lot of hindrance in between. You have to encounter them. It's just like what happened in our construction industry. Where I was in the civil site. I was a civil engineer doing civil engineering. So in construction, towards the end, when we gain all the experience and understanding, that's how we train the younger engineer. And finally, one of my MD, the boss also, learned from what I say. Where I used to share with people. I say, if you come into engineering, it is a site or an experience work environment where you have to solve problem. Problem is always there, otherwise they don't need engineering. Construction problem, construction issue, contractual problem, staff relationship problem. So everything needs to be resolved, even your project deadline, your client, and also those who supervise your work and all those things. So depend on what role you play. So you have to understand construction, in construction, problem is everywhere. Without problem, they don't have to hire you. They hire you is to resolve problem. So you have to resolve with wisdom, understanding, amicably. So this is what patient endurance is all about. So I will read on. If we endure until, oh, this one we have finished. Okay. Once they reach their limit, they explode. That one is not patient. That one is suppression. Oh, they use the same word. If we endure until we reach the end of our patient, we are still in the state of ordinary beings who suppress their bad emotion or temper and become impatient. Once they reach their limit, they explode with irreparable result. So this is what I mean by suppression. Enduring without enduring is not about being able to endure a lot of suffering. Instead, it's about being patient while still at the same time respectful and accommodating. This becomes effortless to the point where we do not even feel that there is anything to endure. To be good, to be a good person, we should be accommodating. If we can accommodate others in all matter, means like resolving issue or misunderstanding amicably, there is harmony, then we do not even need patience, because we have already realized that there is nothing to take issue over about in worldly matter. We will not feel that we are being patient. This is also a matter of loving ourselves, humbling ourselves, and showing respects to others. Once we reach that point, we possess true patience, means you have wisdom. You have all those qualities or great virtue that make you stand out from others. So able to develop humility, able to love yourself, able to respect others, able to resolve issue or things or situation amicably, leading to harmony and solution, is true patience. Means you have the cultivation, otherwise that parami, that what they call perfection, cannot be developed. That's why Kanti parami is not what people think. It's not just suppressing your feeling, emotion. Mean yan, actually that Cantonese word yan has very deep meaning. It can be either way. Without wisdom, that yan becomes suppression, real suppression. So a lot of Cantonese people, they will tell you, you don't push me further, I already very patient with you. So that is not patient endurance with wisdom. That is suppressing their feeling and emotion. Yes, they try to be nice. Trying to be nice is not the same as having the understanding to be nice. Then we read on. Confucius said, living in a poor alley with a single dish of rice and a single gourd of water, while others could not have endured the distress, Yan Hui's happiness was never altered. See? Simple life. Admirable, indeed, was the virtue of Yan Hui. Amidst his many disciples, Confucius repeatedly praised Yan Hui, not only for his diligence, but also for his persevering in his aspiration and devoting himself to the principle. He did not suffer from his lowly or humble situation or circumstances, but was able to live happily in them. So this is what we mean by contentment. You are contented with what you have, with life. You are able to appreciate whatever that is given. You will be happy. You will be peaceful. You will have good life. That's why without contentment, you are not appreciative of life and what people have done for you, or your good condition, or your good karma. The simplicity of life, you know, whatever that come by, you must have this ability to appreciate and be contented with whatever that arise. Yeah. People's problem is because they compare, and the comparison is always from their selfish, egoic mind. They always compare with the more wealthy, richer, more affluent one. Then they complain. But if you really have that contentment, understanding, and appreciative of life, then you will reflect on those who are less fortunate than you. Then contentment will set in. Gratitude will set in. You start to appreciate what you have. Yeah. It's just like in life, a lot of people cannot understand. They complain. They say, how come my life is like that? People are so lucky, they say, born with a silver spoon into a family that is wealthy and all those things. Then like they are able to strike it big and become very successful, very wealthy. Then they complain, despite the good salary they have. No? They say, I am still working, still striving, still having to, what you call in English, slot yourself through in life, because you need the salary and all those things. But then they lack contentment because they never reflect. At least you have a good job with a good salary. People want to pay tax or so, they don't have the opportunity. But you complain having to pay so much tax because of your salary. Then the other thing is they lack contentment because they never reflect. Those who are born abnormal, OKU, or having injury, or having certain type of sickness or disease, or they call handicapped people. At least for us, we count our good blessing, our good karma. Our senses are intact. We are born normal. We have good family. We have good parents. Then we don't have to worry about food and shelter. We don't have to worry about many things in life, even our career. Most of us are having the good life and the good career opportunity. So all this, when you really reflect with contentment, with understanding, you become different. That's why all the complaints, all the unhappiness, dissatisfaction that brings about misery, unhappiness, envy, jealousy, come from lack of contentment. Inability to appreciate life, inability to really have the understanding. So this is the part I always advise Kayamita. When you have contentment, when you're appreciative of life, you will not develop all those negativity. You will have the good life. Then you will actually thank your own good karma, appreciative of what you are born into, your condition, your situation. It's like you really rejoice with your good blessing. So all this come from Dhamma understanding, your good karmic inheritance. Then the condition for you to be born during the sasana, encounter the Buddha Dharma, and have the condition to develop this understanding and go this way. So this is very beautiful. Okay, we continue. So that is something that I add on so that you can develop the understanding. So Confucius praised Yan Hui because for the 3 months there would be nothing in his mind contrary to perfect virtue. Well, this is really not easy, a true cultivator. Others may only achieve this mindset for a day or a month, but no more. Not only was Yan Hui able to physically endure suffering, his mind would also remain unaffected. After hearing Confucius' teaching, he was able to remain virtuous for 3 months. Other disciples could only sustain that state for a day, or maybe for a month. This shows that patience does not come by easily. The ultimate form of patience is non-arising patience. We go to the notes. So the footnote says non-arising patience, also known as patience of the non-arising of phenomena, the realization that all phenomena are non-arising and non-ceasing, thus abiding peacefully with an unwavering mind. So this one is after realization of the unconditioned, so the non-arising patient. Okay, we go back. The world is a great place to cultivate the parami of patience or kanti. Whether facing bitter cold, what's scourging heat, scourging heat, poverty or setback, Tsuchi volunteer always meet all adversity with a smile. This is good practice. They never lose their sense of contentment and gratitude. Having self-respect, humility, and reverence is great openness. Only when we have self-respect, remain humble and respectful in our interaction with others, and steadfast upholding of our spiritual aspiration, can we cultivate the skill of giving and patience. This is why I often praise our Tsuchi volunteers. They are truly patient and diligent, and are able to endure without enduring. They not only cherish their spiritual cultivation, which is a form of self-respect, but they also humble. They are also humble and respectful to others with an open and encompassing or accommodating heart. In this way, they are bodhisattva playing their roles in the human realm, walking among people or humans with a sense of freedom and playfulness. All of this begins with patience. This is very true. Okay, we stop here so that we can have our sharing. Okay, we will open up for meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have or sharing you may have.
Some comments on Alicia the other day.
Good. Okay, good. Very good. Okay.
So, I know Alicia since at the age of 13.
Oh, long time friend, almost childhood.
So, I see the beauty of her now.
Yeah.
And the I see the beauty of the...
Yeah. The transformation over the years.
Yeah. And I see the beauty of the Dhamma.
Yeah. Sadhu, yeah.
So it's really very beautiful.
Yeah. Because you know her so long, you are the best person to actually share this, because through your acquaintance, you saw the whole transformation, how she went down, become so depressed, so much suffering, so much misery. Then how she turned around and later become so beautiful and so successful. Yeah, you continue. Yeah, Elsie, very good. That sharing will inspire many people. Like you say, you see the beauty in the Dhamma. Actually, nothing else changed her and healed her except the Dhamma. Because she tried. See, doctor, psychiatry, all didn't work. And that time really not easy. You continue, sorry.
So the Dhamma is really beautiful. So actually, to me, I feel that important is ourself, you know. So once we got the Dhamma, we have to practice it, cultivate.
Yes, put it into practice, yes. In order to improve our life, to change our life, and to be a blessing to all. So this is very true.
This is a real case that, you know, I witnessed.
Yeah.
You know, that the transformation, you know, from, over the years.
So
it's really very beautiful.
Because mm-hmm. you all were two very close childhood friends and very closely related in the sense that you share a lot of things. Family.
We are very close friends, So, actually, Dhamma, you don't have to seek elsewhere. It's all within us, you know.
Very true. Yeah. Within our own form and mind.
Mm-hmm.
Seek within. Hui Guang Fan Sao. You did the short video. Very good. That one.
So it all depends on yourself, whether you want to put it into practice.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Diligently pursue the spiritual path. That will help transform your life, transform your understanding, your wisdom. This is what Dhamma is for. That's why Dhamma is really wonderful and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. She's the person that I really witness it. You know, she really willing to put into practice.
Yeah.
Put the Dhamma into practice in her daily life. That's how she got the transformation.
Yeah. That one is really something really
beautiful.
Beautiful, wonderful, and marvelous. In fact, a lot of people don't believe what he saw because her condition was so bad. Even the family friend that Daddy, from Philippines, so business associate, very close friend. He was so impressed. He's a Christian, a very good Christian. Then when he was told about how actually Alicia turned around, then he saw Alicia so different. She told Freddie, he said, I want to know your brother Theo. He came all the way and meet me. Then we were very fortunate because later on he invited me and Alicia and Freddie to visit him. So we went. That trip was very beautiful. He really took us around. And, and that was my first trip to Philippines. And I really love it. Very good trip with my wife.
So it's about all I want to share.
Ken. Thank you so much for your good condition to let Kayamita have that faith and the understanding. Actually, Alicia's case is one of the very good example and a rare one. Such serious chronic suffering and misery can also just turn around so beautiful.
And in quite a short time or so.
Yeah, quite a short time. She was caught in depression for 16 years, severe depression. Until she almost lost her life and a lot of they call ulcer problem and have problem even going out for having a simple dinner or meal. Then almost paralyze her life. And yet turned around so beautifully. Actually, the real turnaround is only a few months, but after that, she really has faith. She very diligent, then patiently cultivate. He really listen, contemplate, reflect, then put the Dhamma into cultivation. And that one helped her a lot. That's why she was the one chasing after Suyan for the recording. So those were the beautiful moments and also years where the cultivation really manifests. And a lot of Kayamita has a lot of faith after that because of what happened to her. It was a classic turnaround. Very good. Thank you so much, Elsie. Anything else you want to share?
There's one thing. There's one thing I wanted to find out from Alicia. So, you know, she used to have she used to have fear when she drives. You know. That she has overcome one thing.
You can ask her to share. She is here today.
Yeah, maybe she can share with us how she overcome her fear.
Good evening, Prajil, Mrs. Jill, Louis, and all Kayamitas. Actually, 因为我有fear是因为我以前有一个 head-on collision 的 accident. So, 我不知道，最近我可以直接驾车去到Karak.
Yeah. 是，而且是那个感觉是那个驾车的感觉是很
relaxed 的.
Yeah.
你很 relaxed 很那个 confident 就是我到这个完完全全就是不是以前那种的mind state 这样子 就
fear the anxiety 的
就没有了，就是很很怎样讲，很定的去驾那个车去，
很定，很自然，很定，
就是
very natural and the mind is very very peaceful, very calm.
Yes, 对，我认为这个是因为他的 transformation 的关系
而
all this, 对，其实 thank you LC for all this.
So LC played a big role because at that time she was a good listener.
Yes.
Every time Alicia needs somebody to listen, she will go and see LC. I remember in the early years, she told me she has a lot of gratitude towards LC. That's why after she recovered and she understood the Dhamma, she wants to reciprocate by helping LC. That's why he bring LC to my class. So that was the beautiful part. Then LC, after the first class, he already knew this is the one. That's why until today, her faith is very strong. So they help each other. So they are good friends. Beautiful.
Actually, I think what the case like Radio 讲的, if you have enough suffering, you will want to get out of the suffering.
You get out of it.
我的 case 就是这样子。我的 case 就是这样子。因为那个 movement of 那个 Sankara 那个啊，你会
你看得到，
妈妈你啊，对你看到，而且你觉得很不舒服，你真的是那个 dukkha 哦，你真的是很 deeply feel 到那个 suffering
了咯，这么多年了咯，That's why 你一看到那个 deformation 你就知道了，你就跟那 deformation 讲 ，Enough, you have tormented me for the past so many years. 够了，就灭掉了 straight away. Then you see the beauty in the Dhamma in transforming you and turning you around because you start to develop the right thought, the right way to communicate, and the virtue and all those things. Then you apply the Dhamma, the right view, then you seriously keep the precept, then you meditate, you silence your mind. That's why all this transformation become possible. In fact, the meditation help you a lot. Initial year was not easy, I remember, because your gastric, your ulcer, all sick. I remember the first year when you were at the Cameron Highland retreat. When I was there, it was okay. You can manage to endure through. But later on, there was another retreat. I think I was not there. The monk that teach was another one. I think halfway, you cannot take it. You want to leave that place and all those things because the condition was such you cannot have that ability to continue because people don't have that understanding and all those things. So not easy. But it turned out beautiful. Well, after that, you start to develop the patience, the understanding. Then the cultivation came in because of your constant listening to the true Dhamma. You chase after the recording. Then like you share last time, I remember, even on your trip overseas while traveling in the train, in the car, in the plane, you listen. That's how it has the effect on you. And there is so much joy. You saw the light at the end of the tunnel. You know that this is something that people cannot share with you to come out of your situation. After the first Tuesday class, I remember, I saw the glow in your eye and your face. You were so depressed and so sad when you first came in, when you walked into my house, I can feel. Then halfway through that first sharing, that Tuesday class, I shared the first two noble truths only. Then you start to like listen attentively because you can relate to them. I share a lot of first noble truth, suffering and misery, then the cause of its arising. Oh, then you start to like see the light that this is actually what happened, but nobody can explain to you where you were caught in the cocoon and you actually continuously develop that wrong thought until it become intrusive, oppressive. Then you develop the depression, the very severe depression that leads to ulcer and all those problems. Then you cannot have proper dinner, you throw, and a lot of fear, a lot of insecurity. But all this starts to reverse and stabilize. Then later on, you were able to help Freddy in the work, the career. Then they realize, the brother, sister, they all realize, you can even organize overseas trip, all those things with a lot of confidence. So your whole personality transformed, the joy, the understanding, because you put the Dhamma into practice. And your case was really beautiful, really classic, very outstanding. So you should thank Vincent and the wife. They were the one, they were also your close friend, family friend, and they came and discuss your case with me. Then I say, provided you want to come, can, no problem. Then later on, you really make that decision and come. So that decision was very beautiful that Tuesday night. Sadhu, rejoice. You can continue, Alicia.
Sadhu, friend to you.
Yeah.
我要想要讲什么了？其实我整个的就是去了 Bradio 那边不久之后，我就不需要用吃药了。以前我是吃药
的。对 ，the medication also no need. That was.
And then 这个是最主要的重点，因为一般人都是不能拿掉那个药的，
不能，
真的是不能的。他我有一个朋友告诉我。为什么你的 case 是这样 unique 的？你能够就是嘛，把那个药拿掉就拿掉，
yeah,
这样我也不知道，
yeah.
因为我
because the Dhamma way is the one that root out the problem. 其他的人的是 temporary solution, because all the 药啊 ，all the medication that the psychiatrist or the doctor give to them 啊 ，is actually anti depression and chemical imbalance type of drug. So when they take, they become dependent. That is like addicted. Then they need stronger dose for it to be effective. But they didn't root out the root cause of the problem. Because without Dhamma, you cannot root it out. Whatever they suggest, auto-suggest or what, is only a temporary measure. The end of the day, that phobia, that fear, that insecurity that is in the subconscious and the unconscious because of the cocoon of thought that has been there for so long, they will surface, they will erupt, and they cannot cope. Especially later part in their life, when they start to have problems, when they cannot confront the reality of the first noble truth. So that time it will surface again. Then when it recurs, it becomes very severe, more severe than the earlier time. So that's the reason why they can't come out of it. Then they realize when they try to give up the medication, they have problem, withdrawal symptom, because they have been dependent already. So without the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, you cannot root this out. You cannot overnight just give up on the medication. You have to really develop the understanding, then find out, then slowly. Well, withdrawal symptom also there. So you reduce the dosage. Then later on, when you realize you are really very stable in your understanding, the whole thing gone. And that one, not only you recover, many of those who came and see me who had depression on also gave up the medication, recovered beautifully. In fact, one of them, you also know her. She is very close to us. My wife's colleague, you all know. So all this, not a problem. In fact, many people with such depression problem, they came, they recovered as long as they have the faith and they really willing to sit down and listen attentively, then develop the understanding. And they benefit in many ways. So to what extent depend on their ability to understand what I share. But most of them recover beautifully. So sadhu to you, Alicia, Elsie, and so all those
who recover. Pratio?
Yeah. Mm.
我想问一个，可以，没问题。没有，就因为那天我看到他们在 post about 那个自信嘛。啊呀，自信的。呀呀，啊，你还有那个
WhatsApp， 你读出来。Alicia sent out 的，very nice。啊，他。
LC share
的。Yeah，LC。LC，
说何其自信，本自清净。 何其自信本不生灭，何其自信本知具足，何其自信本无动摇，还有何其自信能生万法。然后我因为那时候我在 send 给 LC 的时候，我就有 contemplate， 他说何其自信本知具足，然后我就 throw out the inquiry 是，他具足什么？ 然后我在某一个地方读过，是说，他说自信有，我们具足自信三宝 ，maybe Bradio 可以跟我们分享一下这个自信三宝。哦，OK，OK，
你看呢，这个自信呢 ，that true nature。 Actually, that one is the unconditioned, the unconditioned. So whatever that manifests from the unconditioned, they actually arise from wisdom and the Dhamma way. That's why all those descriptions is the result of those who have gone through the realization, then they can understand. So the part that you want to know is related to the triple gem. So the triple gem is actually the embodiment of the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha. That is where truth can be found. So without the Dhamma, without understanding all this truth and cultivation leading to the perfection of it, you cannot return to the source. You cannot realize the oneness nature. So that is the reason why you mentioned just now, I cannot remember the Mandarin word, zi xing. Can you repeat that part?
有自信三宝，他就说有自信佛、自信法、自信身。
呀呀呀！
是佛法身，嗯。
对，因为那个自信 is the unconditioned, but it is the result of the cultivation of the 三宝. Because within the 三宝 is where the Dhamma is, and the Dhamma when you cultivate it and develop the perfection of it.You will realize the what we call Sammasambuddhahood, means the ultimate perfection of all the ten perfection, including perfection of wisdom, to become Sammasambuddha. Then you have that nature, that oneness nature, which is that zi xing. So that is.The explanation behind that is the triple gem, Sanbao. So all this is just the description from enlightened being. So this way of sharing is very beautiful, but the English word is better, I think. How amazing they use the word. That this true nature,Two things, or original nature, is already perfect by itself, complete by itself. Then also Qing Qing and all those things. All these are the description, but it's actually the unconditioned. Then, how amazing all Dhamma arise from there. One Wu is from there come out. It's not because of the description.But the description is just to explain to you how wonderful this true nature is. This true nature is the unconditioned. You cannot actually talk about it or describe it. But from there, everything comes about. That's why it's from that original nature. That's why nothing is apart from that nature. From there, the mundane mind arises, the first thought of ignorance arises. Keep on conditioning everything until now.So one wu means all the, what they call, my rights, phenomena or whatever creation, they are not apart from that nature. Where from that nature, all things arise. And that nature is by itself complete, not lacking anything. So it's a very beautiful description. That's why I did the sharing that day.And I told Ingby to refer to what Elsie mentioned. That day was a Chinese New Year gathering. I think a group of you all, I don't know how many, I forgot, about eight, I think, that came to my house. Then we had lunch, then we had the sharing, which was very good. That day one, the sharing was very, very good, really very good. I also forgot what we shared, but...We end up Elsie reciting all this, which is very beautiful. This one comes from the fifth patriarch, sixth patriarch, back from Sutta. The fifth patriarch actually explained the Diamond Sutta, expounded the Diamond Sutta to Hui Ning. When it comes to this true nature and the mundane mind, Hui Ning immediately came to great enlightenment. Then after that,Hui Ning, he recited all this, like through his amazement, he recited all this. He said, how amazing that this true nature is complete by itself, and nothing is apart from this true nature. And this true nature has all these beautiful aspects or characteristics. So all this, if you are a cultivator,you will understand very profound, very beautiful, very deep. So for those who have the understanding means they have awakened. Otherwise, it's not easy. Yeah. But initially, for most cultivators, they will have like some form of appreciation of this saying, the Dhamma. They know it's very beautiful. But the depth of it take time, not so fast. Not until they went through the cessation of form and mind, the realization of Nibbana or those things, then they are on the cultivation path for sufficiently long period, especially the Bodhisattva way. Then only the meaning stand out. And the meaning is very, very deep, very profound. And all this can only be expressed when that nature has the understanding. Means through your cultivation, you not only go through the cessation, not only the sainthood way where you have a glimpse of it. No, you have to stabilize that nature within. Then you have to connect. Then only that whole nature, the answer, the meaning can stand out. Otherwise, the sainthood way with a glimpse or some form of realization, enlightenment, is not sufficient to actually appreciate what that thing is, that nature. That nature is the higher teaching, the higher cultivation, the Bodhisattva way, for true cultivator of the way, going the full cultivation or the path. So all this, when you have developed the cultivation, you look back, you reflect back, then later on you listen to it again or you read this again, it becomes different. Even 2 years from now, it will become different again. So all this is what cultivation is all about. As you cultivate, as you transform, as you progress, the understanding deepens. The understanding deepens. So hopefully from this explanation, it will help you, Alicia. You can have quite a lot of understanding already, but if you want to go deeper and have the ability to express that and share that, you may need more cultivation. Maybe after a few more years, then your understanding would become different again. Then you have to go into the what they call that awareness nature until that cessation come for longer period. Then all this training the cultivator need to continue to do. Then only the awareness nature, the oneness nature, the longer you go into it, the sun pu mie, the unconditioned, then when you come out of it, you can understand more. You can understand more. But you need to develop the Bodhisattva way cultivation in order to understand the mind right variation, creation, and all those things, to have a deep, clear understanding of what these words are. Well, these are the teachings from enlightened being. So when it share to the cultivator who really has the understanding and has control, they really find it very beautiful. And the word amazing is really correct. How amazing that this nature is like that, very true. Your Mandarin word just now, the first two words, the impact is not there. Is it the same meaning? The first two words. 刚才你讲的，Alicia，
什么？那个头两个字啊？何其自信啊！啊，何其
？What is the meaning？
何其
Is it how amazing？
他们是 explain as like 怎么知道这个自信原来是这样的？何其他们？Miss
the actual meaning is how amazing.
Yeah， 对对。
It can be like that.
嗯嗯。
So the word is amazing. So your first two Chinese word is what?
和其和。
Correct, correct. 其 has that meaning. 神奇奇 that 奇 has that meaning. So that two words, that's why when I hear, it's like it doesn't stand out. The English word is very accurate translation. How amazing. So the 和其 the two word, isn't it?
是和其自信。
和 is what? What is the meaning of that word? Is it harmony?
不是，它是如何的和。
如何 okay. Yeah. Means how amazing. Yeah, correct. The translation to English is correct. 如何 yeah. 如何 Yeah. 和其 yeah. 奇啦奇啦 means amazing. Like 很奇啊很神奇啊和其 yeah.Correct. So the translation is correct. But when you speak in Mandarin, unless you Mandarin educated, you cannot get that deep meaning until you explain to me the words. When you explain to me the words, then I can understand. Very beautiful. So can follow.
Yes, Brother Teo. 现在我开始慢慢明白多一点 Brother Teo 的 teaching.
对
compared to last time.
Yeah.
我对我跟 BG 讲、yeah. 我都听了 Brother Teo 这一句话听了这么多年，
对，
可是现在才立心嘛。
对啊，因为它是一段一段的 as you progress along the path of cultivation, as you have deeper realization and understanding, then your understanding will allow you to access that sharing, that part.That's the reason why I always say what I share is from that level of cultivation all the way down to even the normal cultivator, especially sainthood way and all those things. But whatever level you are, unless your level is higher than my level, then of course it is something that is beyond me. Then I should say I have to learn from others. ButWhoever who listen to my sharing, if their cultivation has not reached the level that my nature has accomplished, they will need time to develop their understanding. Yeah, it's from that level share down. So the words are the same, but the meaning is very deep, very penetrative. That's why a lot of you all, even like Song, they all, and even Po Ching, many others,The more you cultivate, the more you listen, the more you understand, you realize the understanding keep on deepening, unfolding. Even NB, they all same. Initially, most of them thought they already knew what this thing is. But every time, like Brother Song used to share, even the Heart Sutta, after reading it for so many times,Again, after some form of cultivation, then read again, different again. Listen to the same Dhamma again, the understanding different again. Because it is from that type of understanding that is being shared. So whatever that is shared, like, appear very simple. Very simple. Even that talk, the Thursday class on the sharing, what is the difference betweenAwareness and consciousness, actually that talk is very profound, very deep. Talk about the Mahayana nine type of consciousness and all those things. And explaining what sati is and what consciousness is. The three type of Pali word to define man that the Buddha used. They have the word mano. Mano.Then they have this word, what they call chitta. Then there's another one, vijnana. So these three, the meaning is very deep and very different. So I explain it in that sharing. I think recently somebody commented also, very good comment, and Jin Hao sent to me. Maybe I will send for sharing again. You all should listen to that talk again. That Thursday class one is very, very good.That one is actually meant to be, I think, to let the world understand. Beyond that title explanation, I don't think anybody can explain the difference between sati awareness and consciousness. And the whole topic turned out so beautiful. Okay, Alicia, sadhu.
Sadhu, brother Tio.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu. Sese ni the sharing, which is very good.
感恩我们跟所有的Mitasa that跟我一起progress along the path of Dhamma.
是是的。
阿弥陀佛。
阿弥陀佛，全部同修佛友啊，means Kayamita Dhamma friends, co-cultivator. So this is very beautiful when you see people benefiting from the Dhamma. Their life changed, transforming. In fact, to our sharing, a lot of these things came to light. And many people actually can see it, how people transform, how their understanding change, how their life change, how they change over to have the understanding of life and know how to live life and develop the cultivation and be a blessing to all. So this is something very beautiful. So we should all rejoice. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Anything else, Alicia?
Radio 还有就是以前我没有那个 understanding 的时候很怕那个 mind based 的，可是经过这一路走来，我觉得很好的学习的机会。
因为
我终于现在明白什么叫精一事长一智，然后把那个智又把它 no contemplate 又变成慧。
沙杜沙杜，哦，瑞克。
沙杜沙杜沙杜，所以我们
mind base 很重要的 mind base， you can develop awareness of the mind base， you will penetrate the nature。 The mind base is where your life force come out， the gateway to your nature。那个 mind base 很重要的，你要 very quiet, very still, very tranquil. When the awareness nature very stable, then you can detect it. You no need to look for it, it will surface, and then you detect. Very beautiful, sadhu.
Rachel.
PG, yes.
Good evening, Rachel.
Yeah, good evening, sadhu. Yeah.
I just want to clarify what was being said at the last discussion that Alicia said, because it was in Mandarin, I totally cannot get it.
Oh, you go to the Heart Sutta on the sixth Patria Platform Sutta, Sui Nishina, 那个 Heart Sutta 2, this is the part, yeah. Okay, I read to you, PJ, you listen, The fifth patriarch then knocked the mortal thrice with his stick and left. Knowing what the fifth patriarch meant in the middle of the night at the third watch, Hui Ning went to the fifth patriarch's room. That night, Master Hong Ren, the fifth patriarch, received Hui Ning in his abode and expounded the Diamond Sutra to him. This is the part. When he came to the passage,To use the mind, which is the mundane mind, yet be free from any attachment, Hui Ning came to great enlightenment. Then that expression came out, that all dhammas are inseparable from that self nature. Then after that, he exclaimed,This is the part where the Mandarin translation is. How amazing that the self nature is originally pure, qing jing, pure. How amazing that the self nature is unborn and undying. Because it is the unborn, that's why it's eternal life. If it's the one that has birth, it will die. That is the unborn. That's why, because there exists the unborn, that's why escape from the conditioned world is possible. Then he said, how amazing that the self nature is inherently complete. Then how amazing that the self nature neither move nor stay. Then how amazing that all dhammas, or my right, one wu, my right dhammas, come from this self nature. Then Master Hongren, the fifth patriarch, told Pening, if one recognizes the original mind, the original nature, he is called the great man, teacher of God and man, and a Buddha, Sammasambuddha. So this one is to realize the oneness nature. That's how it has to return. After that, he passed him the rope and begging bowl as a symbol of the Dharma seal of sudden enlightenment to Huining. So the Mandarin word, you may have to maybe get those who know Mandarin to help you to read. Then you try to understand its meaning. Because just now when Alicia explained the first two words, the translation is correct. It means how amazing. Then that true nature. Bǎn xìng, zì xìng, sorry, zì xìng, zì xìng, the self nature, zì xìng, okay, PJ, can you understand?
Okay, thank you, Brazil.
Yeah, so that is the part. So when you have the understanding, you go back and read that Six Patriarch Platform Sutta again. It's very beautiful, very meaningful, especially when we share during the Cameron Highland retreat. That time, the nature's energy is different. So when I expound and share during that time, the Dharma protectors, the non-human, together with the great beings nature, they really rejoice. That's why that time the sharing was so beautiful. I can remember my nature can feel that type of energy coming in. And it was so beautiful, so profound. That's the reason why I say if Cameron Highland open up again, then the San Bao Si, then we can have our retreat. Oh, that will be good. But maybe they will limit. They say 50% SOP. Maybe the group cannot be so big. I don't know. So the next retreat will be really, really something we should look forward to. Yeah, it will be very, very amazing. And this time, if we ever have that retreat there, because after I have explained the Heart Sutta through this MCO period, the next sharing is totally different. A lot of Kayamita will understand and progress and become very different. A lot of you all were awakened during that 8 or 9 days. Because now the Kayamita force, the Kayamita's nature, they have moved. They have moved and they are very different. So now the sharing that come out, like a lot of you all can feel, is so different from last time. Now the sharing is about the cultivation, the transformation, the progress, things which we can never delve into or discuss last time, because hardly anybody has gone through those type of cultivation. So there was no condition to share those things. But nowadays you realize almost every session off and on, there are this beautiful sharing that come out. Then I have the condition to explain all these things. So hopefully with this, it can benefit more Kayamita. So PJ, thank you for asking that question. So go back and read through that Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. I think chapter 2 is that. Chapter 2, yeah. It's very beautiful. In fact, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, Liu Chu Tan Jing, is a very beautiful teaching. That's why until today, the Mahayana still pay a lot of attention to that teaching. Mm. The other beautiful aspect of that sharing and teaching is the poems. The poem by Sun Siu and the Six Patriarchs. That two poems were very beautiful. Mm. A lot of penetrative Dhamma understanding can arise when you can understand that sharing. Mm. Okay? Anybody else? We still have 5 more minutes.
Presentio.
Alicia, yeah.
说回那个六祖坛经，比较六祖坛经的时候，
对，
六祖坛经里面不是六祖慧能，大师有讲过转八识成四智的，就是怎样，也就是你在当下你如果就是 in simple words 就是当 Bird 就教我们说当你有那个萨地的时候你在那种 condition 的时候你就不会被色嘛
yeah 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 that's why 萨地 is very important 萨地
所以当时
你 continue
当时 Bird 就在教这个六祖坛经的时候哇我花了好长时间去 understand
yeah 因为那个时候你 try to use your mundane mind 去
对对所以是 不行的
你去 like reflect contemplate 思考啊 not easy 哦那个时候做不到的因为你没有实地啊你不能够了解的 that understanding come from that stability of the silent mind that 实地你没有悟到啊他的 poem also you cannot understand then that nature you can only understand after you have actually connect realize some form of cessation otherwise you cannot understand at all because that 自性 that true nature within each and every one of us is not easy to understand but it starts from the awareness nature you have to stabilize itAnd that is not the real one, no. That one is just the one that first come out from that true nature. The true nature, the first thing that come out is the pure awareness. But that one, you have to stabilize it in order to understand what it is. Then from there, you silence everything, you detect the gateway, then you go in. And then you go through the transformation, the cessation and all those things. Then that phase of cultivation is different again.Then you have to realize the cessation, pusen, pumye, where the pure awareness also cease. That is what nibbana is all about. Then that nature need a lot of wisdom and perfection to actually comprehend and penetrate. That's why you need to perfect the 10 perfection leading to Sammasambuddha's nature to fully understand that.True nature, the original nature, because we call it the source or the original nature is that from there all things arise. That is the original, means 本来的面目 before everything arise. That is the one. From there all things arise. So that oneness nature is like what the scientist has come to understand.They call it the singularity. You heard of this word singularity? Singularity means from that beginning of time, that singularity, like the universe, the expanding universe. Yeah. They believe from that singularity, like the Big Bang, everything start. Then this expanding universe start to expand. Until now, it's still expanding.And you cannot understand one unless you can return to the source, the oneness nature. That's why you must have the Buddha nature to understand that. That's why the Buddha has this unique quality, all-knowing, Sammasambuddha, and trainer of man and God. He can teach, he can train. He is the omniscient and all those things. Sammasambuddha.Whatever that can be known, can be understood, he can understand. So all this is possible when you have the ability to go through that type of training, the cultivation, and the perfection. Okay? Alicia? 能够了解吗?
Yeah, sadhu.
So what you brought out is very good, Alicia. You must have sati. You must have that silent mind. You must stabilize it. You must go through the cultivation. Otherwise, you cannot develop the clear understanding. Otherwise, it's just Dhamma knowledge, some form of contemplative understanding. But to realize and understand what that thing is, you have to go through that cultivation to realize that awareness nature, stabilize it, then go through all the cessation, then detect the gateway and all those things. Then only the meaning stand out. Otherwise, you cannot understand. That's why in the early days, how come I can understand all this and share all this? I was not even Mandarin educated. I don't know the words. Then it so happened, we were so lucky. You know. When I got the first six patriarch thing, I was sharing at Miss Lee's place there. Then Miss Lee sent me some short note. I think she got it from another source, you know, the internet, don't know what source. I read through, cannot, but that one was not accurate, inaccurate. Then after that, I searched the internet again. Then I found this version. Oh, this version is pretty accurate. That's why I adopted this version. So, you all were lucky. Because when it is the correct version, the translation come out very accurate. Then when I read the translation, I know this is the one. That's why I put it inside there. But then the question is, how can my nature understand all this? Well, this line, nobody taught me this. Nobody taught me the Heart Sutta, all those things. Even Diamond Sutta, all that. But my nature, after I connect, I can understand. That's why I can share, I can come up with all those understanding. So this is how, when you develop the cultivation, you have to go through the cultivation and the realization. Especially our sati, our nature, our awareness nature, stabilize it. You have to do that. Then your daily mindfulness must be very stable, like what Alicia can share with you. Before that is knowledge. You try very hard to discern, to understand, but it's still through the mundane mind, the thought process. But when you have the cultivation, when you have penetrated your self nature or your true nature, it becomes totally different. Then the understanding is there because you know what that thing is. Otherwise, you have to use your imagination. Oh, what is this that Brother Teo tried to say or the Sutta tried to say? Bu sen bu mie, like just now the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, is it? Non-arising, non-ceasing. What is all this? You can never comprehend it. You use the mundane thinking or your knowledge to try to seek understanding, which is not possible. But this one is, you have to go through and realize it. The wisdom is to be awakened to realize, insight into. Not a knowledge where you read out from somewhere or try to develop the understanding through thinking and through like analysis or through they call it what discussion and all those things. You cannot stand up. Because the real understanding is wisdom, awakening. It's not a knowledge. It's not a Dhamma knowledge. It's penetrative awakening, understanding. So understanding is not rigid. It's a complete thing. Once you understand, you will understand. No need to put into memory on. No need to like scare you forget on. No, it's in your nature. So whatever situation come, it will surface. It will prompt you like spontaneously. That's why the Buddha call it yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoni soul is wisdom at the moment of sense experience upon contact. So all these are very beautiful. Okay?